Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Samach Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the top of daf Samach Zayin. The Gemara. Hahi itza, there was a woman, the omra le lahu gavra, she said to a particular man, this man, you will see, functions as an agent for the purchase of land. Zil zoven li ara mikrevai. Go and purchase for me a piece of land from my relatives. Ozal zovan lo. So the man went and bought for her a parcel of land from one of her relatives. Omar le. The relative asks the agent, I havu li zuzi, mahadris lo nihali, if I come up with funds, with money, zuzi, cash, will you return the land to me? Omar le, so the agent answers, at venavlo achi. The word navlo, according to one of the explanations found in Rashi, is a name. So the agent said, you and Navlo, the woman that sent me, are achi, are relatives. Work it out between yourselves. Rashi, you could see, is found the lower part of the narrow lines of the commentary. At v'navlo achi. And you can see in the first line of the wider lines, Vani Omer, Rashi says, Shezeh Shmo, that this is her name. But the Rashi, where it begins, about five lines before they get wide, At v'nav l'achi, at v'hi kroivim atem v'tisratzu b'nechem, you and the one that sent me are relatives, work it out between yourselves. That's what the agent said to the seller. Now, the Gemara goes on, Omar Rabo Bar Rav Huna, Kol At V'Nav La'achi, expressions like that, Samcho Daite V'lo Gomar Umakni. There's quite a bit of discussion in the commentaries as to what this line means. The Vilna Goy, the Gra, you'll notice in the Hagois Hagra that you find in the margin, he says in Ois Aleph, he quotes a couple of different opinions, but the first opinion that he quotes, you can see he says in Ois Aleph, Somcha Daite V'chule Nir B'enai V'eno Mochur Elo Al Tnai Zeh. The sale is contingent upon this condition. In other words, the relative sold the land with this condition in mind that when he comes up with money, he will be able to buy back the land. In other words, he will be able to insist on the land being resold to him. And he quotes the Tur Shulchan Aruch Yerodeh Simen Kuf Ayin Dalet and Choshe Mishpat Simen Kuf Beis V'Komash Molon, and this tells us Shalot Tomar you should not think that the sale took place unconditionally. So this statement in the Gemara is understood by these commentaries as being a full-fledged condition. So the sale is conditional that in the event or upon achieving possession of money, this relative will be able to, we'll say, force a buyback, a resale of the land back to himself. Now, let's turn back to the Gemara. Ara Hadra. So, we've established that the land can be is to be returned. Peri Mai. What about the fruits? Now, we have this individual in the Gemara, we called her Navla. She bought land. We said that the land will be returned. Now, when the land is returned, so she will get her money back. So, in the course of events, she laid out money, and she's going to get back money. What about the fruits that the purchaser, in this case, Navla, consumed in the interim? The Gemara presents two sides, two possibilities. But even before we go on, the way we illustrated this, namely that Navla paid out money and then gets back money, doesn't that remind you a little bit of a loan? It's true that here we're dealing in the context of a sale, but in theory, it looks a little bit like a loan. In other words, the money was given from Navla to the relative that sold the land, and Navla's going to get back the money. The fruits that the buyer consumes during the time that they are in possession of the land might represent ribis, a form of interest. In other words, it's benefit that the malva gets beyond the return of the principal amount that he had used in purchasing the land at the outset. So he's going to get back his principal in terms of cash, plus he consumed, plus Navla consumed the fruits during the interim period. So the Gemara asks, what about these fruits? Ribis ktsutza havu v'yotzin by dayonim. Are they viewed as a form of established direct interest, and as a result, the courts can extract that payri value, that fruit value that the purchaser consumed during the interim period. Oy dilma, or maybe ki avak ribis havu v'ein yotzin. It is viewed as, we'll call it indirect ribis or informal ribis, and hence, even though it's a wrongful thing to benefit from, the courts do not get involved to extract it and return it to the original party. In this case, it would be the original owner of the land. That's the question. Omar Rabo Baravuna, Mistabro ki avak ribis havu. Most likely, it's considered indirect ribis, indirect interest, the ein yoitzin bedayonim, and hence the courts cannot extract it. V'chein omar rabo ki avak ribis havu the ein yoitzin bedayonim, and therefore the fruit value is not to be extracted by the courts. Before we go further, we did encounter a new marking which we didn't explain yet. On the side of the Gemara, there are no say slash mivneh heading. We have a crown shape, and we indicate these are she'elos, these are questions, b'inyin chiyuv hachzoras peros, regarding the possible obligation to return fruit value, b'mishe hichzik b'karka v'ne'elatz lachziro, in cases where someone held land and then had to return the land. And of course, they got their money back. Klomar, im yesh lahachshiv achilas haperos keribiz ktsutza v'yotze b'dayonim. Do we look at the consumption of the fruits during the interim period as direct interest, and hence it to be returned forcefully by the courts? Oy lo, or maybe not. It's viewed as avak ribis. Number one. The first one is the case we dealt with already, the Mechira al Tnai. This involved a sale that was conditional. And we say, Loshen Zeh Nimtza B'Ritva, this classification of viewing this as a sale on condition, you can find in the Ritva commentary. Number two, and this is the next section of more that we're about to study, the Mashkanta. Mashkanta land offered as collateral. Shehamalve machzir hakarka bezman tashlum achov. We will find that the lender who received the land as collateral returns the land when the debt is paid up. V'ad oz nenem in aperison. Until that time, the lender was benefiting from the fruits of that land. So once again, you have a situation where the person who laid out money is going to get back his principal, plus he was benefiting from the fruits in the interim. Now the Gemara. Omar lei Abaye l'Ravo. Mashkanta mai. Mashkanta mai. Rashi, right under the Gemara text. Mashkanta mai. Mishkein lo sadeh v'lo kotz imo lecho peros l'shem ribis. A lender received a parcel of land as collateral. There was no setting up or establishing a plan for the lender to eat the fruits. V'hu yorad v'osa v'ochal. But the lender, in fact, descended into the field, worked the field, and benefited from the fruits. So now we turn back to the Gemara. Abaye's question to Rabba is, what about the fruits in that case, in the Mashkanta case? Hosom taimomai, regarding the case before of the sale of the land, conditional upon the resale back to the original owner, we ruled, Rabba ruled that it's avakribis, that the fruit consumption is ein motzien oisib edayonim. So there, hosom taimomai, why did we say there that the fruits would not be returned? Mishum delo kotzle, because, is it because there wasn't a fixing at the outset of the loan? Hacha nami lo kotzle, so too here in the case of mashkantas we saw in Rashi, there was no fixing at the outset of a loan that the lender would consume the fruit. So since it wasn't fixed at the outset, it wouldn't be considered ribis ktsutsa, direct ribis, and therefore the courts wouldn't get involved. Oy dilma hasam zvini hacha hava. Or there, the reason we were lenient, there Rabba ruled leniently, is because it was in the context of a sale. Haha, in the case of this question, Havo, it's in the context of a loan. And since it's in the context of a loan, it becomes a more severe issue. And therefore, maybe here, where the malve, where the lender was using the fruits, benefiting from fruits during the outstanding period, the courts would get involved to extract that and return the fruit value to the borrower. Omar lei, so Rabba answers, hosom taimomai, in the case of the field sold on condition, the first crown case that we saw, where the fruits were not returned, mishum delo kotzle. It's because there wasn't a fixed condition, ribis condition, stated at the outset. That, namely, that in addition to the loan being repaid, the lender would be entitled to the fruits. So, see, that wasn't established at the outset there, and that's why it's not yotze b'dayonim. The courts will not get involved. Hochanami, by the same token, lo kotz lei. Here, in this mashkon case, the lender took the land, received the land as collateral, but there was no specification of the lender benefiting from the fruits as well. On his own, he happened to produce the fruits, but it wasn't spelled out, and hence it's not ribis ktsutsa, and hence the judges would not get involved to have that returned, the fruit value returned to the borrower. Omar Rav Papa, Oved Ravina Uvda, Ravina issued a ruling, v'choshiv v'apik peri delo kerabo barav huna. In other words, Ravina ruled to the we'll say contrary of Rabba Bar Avuna. Now, where did we see Rabba Bar Avuna? So we have a little arrow. Use it by all means, and align it with the arrow above. Rabba Bar Rav Huna dealt with the case of the fruits in the, if you recall, Navla sending the agent to buy a land, piece of land from one of her relatives. And in that case, we know that the land would be returned to the relative. Navla would get back her money, but Navla also consumed the fruits in the interim. So Ravina, contrary to Rabba Bar Rav Huna above, Ravina said the fruits must be, the fruit value must be returned to the land, original land owner, the seller of the land. He is the one that had, we'll say, received money from the buyer, then gave back the money to get his land back. He is the one entitled to the fruits, and that the buyer, who we're looking at as if he were a lender of money, because he's getting back the money that he paid for the land, he should not have eaten the fruits. Not only that, but Ravina said that he must return the fruit value to the original landowner. And that ruling is not like Rabba Bar Rav Huna that we saw above. He called it Avak Ribbis, and hence Ein Yotzim B'Dayonim. As you can see, we have a slash mark, which indicates there's a new trend of thought. However, we are going to continue with references as to a mashkon, but it's an entirely new discussion. You can see that we have a bow tie marking. Also, you'll notice there's a numbering scheme to the side of the Gemara text. And if you look ahead to Amud Beis, we highly recommend the bird's eye view when learning a Daf Gemara. You'll notice several more bow ties. The note on the side under our Mivneh, our structural note, says where you see the bow tie, Nesinas Kotorois Lusugios B'inyan Mashkanta Ba'asra Demisalki. We'll try to give, we'll say, headlines to various sections of Gemara, Sugyas discussions here, in the context or with regard to a Mashkanta, a taking of collateral, Ba'asra Demisalki, in places where the borrower can at any time remove, by paying up the loan, remove the lender from the land. That term, Asra Demisalki, is in contrast with places that are Lomisalki, where you cannot remove the lender from the land until a certain period of time. You can't remove him, we'll say, prematurely. The topic we have here under the Nosei heading, Peros Shemalva Ochal Misoder Shaloiva Shehitzik Kemashkon, fruits that the lender consumed that were grown in the field belonging to the borrower, that the lender held for an interim period of time as a mashkon, Ochal Peros, if he ate the fruits, number one, Keshir Halva, the amount of fruits would equal the value of the original loan. And number two, me'aver l'shiur halva, the amount of fruits that he ate was even more than the principal value of the loan. We'll look at a case of asra de misalki and a case of asra de lo misalki. There's a Rashi that we recommend looking at even at this early point, toward the bottom, lo misalkinon le below zuzi, ad shitein lo kol shiur mois havosoi. We don't remove the lender from the land until he receives all of the money. De kevon dechi achlinu lahach, since he consumed the fruits, even though they were so much to be actually equal to the loan, lav b'toras piron achlinu. In an asra de lo misalki, we don't view that as his eating, the eating of the fruits as the payback of the loan. That's Rashi says, "La b'toras piron achlin." He didn't eat them as payment for the loan. Havile avak ribis mishas achila v'eino yetsi b'dayonim. As soon as he started eating the fruits, they're considered avak ribis, called indirect ribis, and hence the judges cannot extract it from him. V'chi silkuhu misode zu below zuzi. And in the event that he is removed from the field without getting his loan back, that would be tantamount. That would be tantamount to us extracting from him avak ribis, which is something we do not do. V'hai denokat liel asra demesalki. The reference earlier to, of course, bear in mind we're reading the Rashi prematurely, where we haven't even learned the Gemara yet, but we're learning the Rashi by way of introduction to some of these ideas. The reference earlier to an asra de misaki, the ilu asra de lo misaki, in a place where the lender cannot be removed from the land until the end of a fixed period of time. In an asra, a place, the lo misaki, there was a custom of consuming the fruits for a fixed number of years. And even if the borrower would come up with money to pay off the loan, we would not remove the lender from the land. Hakol moedim, everyone agrees. In that case, the chaleisin hashanim kemecheru etzlo. Since you can't remove the lender even with the paying of the loan, it must be that we view those years that the lender is holding onto land as if it were a sale. Vinami ochal shir zuzi, even if he consumes enough fruits that would cover the principal value of the loan, lo mesalkin lei, we would not be able to remove him. Once again, that's in a case or a place called, that we refer to as asra, places, the lo mesaki, where we do not remove the lenders from the land. Now, all of that we read by way of introduction, just to get a taste or a feeling of what we'll see in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara. Omar mor b'reid Rav Yosef mishmei d'rova. Hai mashkanto ba'asro d'mesalki. A piece of land held on to as collateral in a place that the custom is to remove the lender from the land as soon as the loan is paid up. Rashi, under the Gemara text, four lines, Ba'asro, Demisaki, Vemokom Sharogu, Lahalvo Stam, in places where a loan was given without specifications, Umalvo Chuperos, and the lender eats the fruits, Velo Posak Imo, Benach Yaisik, it'll come on, and there was no agreement that there would be a constant reduction of the principal that the lender, that the borrower would have to pay back. Nachyas literally is to subtract. But they didn't make such a condition that there would be an ongoing subtraction from principal that needs to be paid back in because of the lender eating the fruits. V'noagu l'salik es amalva mimeno b'chol eis shetas igyan aloive l'mois. And the practice was that whenever the borrower would come up with money, we would tell the Malva to leave the land. So now, in given those conditions, those circumstances, as Rashi delineated, that we in short form we refer to as Asra de Misalki, Aleph, Ochal Shior Zuzi, Misalkinon Lei. If the lender consumed fruits at enough fruits that it would cover the principal value of the loan. Rashi says, Ochal kashir zuzi, kefi mashin in korim peros b'shuk. When we speak about the fruits being eaten corresponding to the value of the loan, based on the fruit value in the current market value. Ubo haloiv lefanenu v'tov av yomar. Now the borrower comes to us and claims, Eini rotze shiochal peros hayberibis. I don't want him eating the fruits as interest. In other words, beyond the principal value of the loan that I'm expected to pay back, he should be eating the fruits. Yoshimu Perush Shachal V'Yitlom B'Chovo. So the Lova insists, I want the fruit value to be assessed, and let him take them as payment for the loan. Ilu Havu Li Zuzi Misalkinule. Had I had cash, I could have removed them from the land. Hashtonami Periochal Zuzi Didininu. Now that he's eaten the fruits, those fruits are like my cash. So now that he's eaten the enough to cover the principal value of the loan, I want him off. So Rashi, the Gemara says, if he ate that amount of fruits that corresponds to the principal value of the loan, misalkinon le. The Gemara says, we will remove him. And Rashi here adds, very importantly, v'afagav d'avak ribisu, v'ena yitzu b'dayonim, even though we saw before, this is termed as avak ribis, indirect ribis, not actual formal ribis, and in general, it's not yitzu b'dayonim, the court cannot extract it. Hanimilu l'boser d'shakle, that's post facto, after he took the fruits. And in this case, this Love was diligent. He was fast moving and, we'll say, preempted the situation where the Malva would have eaten the value of the loan in the fruits beforehand. So this Love preempted the Malve. So as we see in the Gemara, in such a case, we would remove, at that point that the value of the fruits corresponds to the principal loan, we would remove the Malve from the land. Ochal tfei lo mafkino minei. If he ate more than the value of the loan, we would not tell him to pay that back, because it's avak ribis. Another point, v'lo mechashvinon mishtora l'shtora. In the case that there was that he ate more than the value of the loan, we do not say that extra value will go towards the principal payment of a second shtar, a second document, namely a second recorded loan. So if you have this particular borrower that happened to have taken two loans out from this lender, and the lender ate more than the value of the loan, of the first loan, that extra value will not be credited toward reduction of the principal value of the second loan. Uba diyasmi, if we were dealing with orphans, where their father had been the owner of the land that was taken as collateral, and now we have the orphans having to deal with the lender, we say, Ochal shiur zuzi mesalkinon lei. If the lender ate the value of the loan, we would remove him. Now, that's consistent with what we said before in the case of the borrower himself being alive. Ochal tfei, and here you'll notice the difference. If the lender ate more than the value of the loan that their father had taken, mafkinon minei, the extra amount we will extract from that lender. Umechashvinon mishtora l'shtora. And if there happened to be a second debt that their father owed, we would calculate the extra value of the fruits, which was extra beyond the value of the first loan, and that would be credited toward payment of the second loan. And practically speaking, then these yesoimim would be expected to pay back less than the full value of that loan. We take a look at Rashi. Rashi adds a couple of points that are quite important. Ochal tfei mafkino minei, in the case of Yisoymim, where the borrower had died, leaving orphans, and in the meantime the lender consumed more than the value of the loan in terms of fruits. So Shebezin Shebeir, the reason, even though you're dealing with Avak Rivis, the court, the local court, is Avien Shel Yisoymim. They are like the father of the Yisoymim. Varei Heim Shalitim Lasos Mishpat, and they have control concerning judicial matters, especially concerning monetary matters. Veheim Lo Mohalu Al Ha'oidef Shochal. These Yisoymim, they didn't forfeit or forego the extra value that the lender ate in the fruits. Vavilei Kaman de Salkua Mishaita de Ochal Shior Zuzi. And therefore, since we're dealing with Yisoymim, it's as if the lender was removed at the point that he ate enough fruits to cover the principal value of the first loan. We turn back to the Gemara. Omar Ravashi, Hashto the Amris, Ochal Tfei Lo Mafkino Mine. We have a little star to the side, referring to the case of the before the assignment. There's the regular case where the lender ate more fruits than the principal value of the loan. That extra amount we don't take away from him. Ochal shiur zuzi nami lo mesalkino le below zuzi. And following from that, Ravashi says, in the event that he ate an amount of fruits corresponding to the principal value of the loan as well, we will not remove him without that lender getting back the value of the loan. Up till now, we were learning in terms of having him removed and that fruit consumption being considered payment of the loan. Here, we're saying, no, true, we'll remove him from the land, but not until he gets the actual loan in cash payment. Rashi, lo misalkino le below zuzi. Now, this Rashi we read before just to get into the Gemara, but here we're going to read it now in context. Rashi says, ad shiite lo kol shir mol salvoso. We have this lender consumed fruits corresponding to the principal value of the loan, but we're not going to remove him until he gets paid all of the value of the loan in cash. Dekevon dechi achlinu lahach. Since he ate these fruits, even though they corresponded to the value of the loan, lav b'toras piron achlinu. He wasn't eating them as payment for the loan. That wasn't the arrangement. And therefore, have le avak ribis mishas achilo. His eating of the fruits would be classified as indirect interest, and we can't extract that value from him through the courts. And if we remove him from the field without his getting back the loan, that would be the equivalent of extracting avak ribis, namely the fruits that he ate. So we don't remove him from land until he gets the principal value in cash from the borrower. Even though, we're just repeating ourselves, even though this lender in the meantime has consumed enough fruits to cover the value of the loan. And Rashi continues, and I know we read this before as well, V'hai denoka liel asra de misalki, and that which the Gemara spoke in terms of a place where we remove the lender, the ilu asra de lo misalki, if it were in that kind of place, that where they're not removed, where the lenders are not removed, shenagu lechol amashgunis shonim ktsuvos leminhagon, in places like that we call asra de lo misalki, the custom was that lenders would continue eating the fruits for the fixed number of years that they were holding on to the land as collateral. The ilu havu lezuzi lo motzi misalik le, and even if the borrower comes up with cash to pay for the original loan, we wouldn't remove the lender from that land that he's holding as collateral. Hakol modim, everyone is in agreement. The chol oisin hashalim kemechru etzlo. During those years, it's viewed as a sale. As if that lender bought the land. Even if he ate enough fruits to cover the principal vow of the loan, we would not remove him. That's in the case of Asra de lo misalki. Let's go back to the Gemara. Ovad Ravashi, we're of course picking up the Gemara from the bottom line. Even before we go back over the Gemara, let's just go read the Gemara again, three lines from the bottom, having had read the Rashi already. My taima, why does Ravashi rule that if he consumed fruits corresponding to the value of the loan, we won't remove him from the land until he gets paid back the actual principal value in cash? Why is that? Sluki b'lozuzi afuki minehu. Removing the lender from the land without his getting paid back the principal value is tantamount to extracting the fruit value that he ate. And that is, that's avak ribis, eino yotze b'dayonim. You're dealing with a case of avak ribis, indirect ribis, and as we said before, consuming of the fruits as a means of payback of loan was not established at the outset, and nor was the payment, the eating of the fruits, established as a form of interest either at the outset. Hence, it's called avak ribis, and avak ribis eino yotze b'dayonim. It cannot be extracted by judges, and therefore you can't remove this lender, even though you're dealing with an asra de misalki. You can't remove him from the land unless he gets paid back the principal in cash. Ovad Rav Ashi Uvda B'Yisoymim Ketanim. We continue at the top of Omid Beis Kegedolim. Rav Ashi ruled in a case that the borrower had died, leaving minor orphans. Ravashi ruled regarding their land that was held by the lender as collateral to be dealt with as if they were adult heirs. And what does that mean in practical terms? So Rashi at the top says, V'afagav di ochal shir zuzi, even though the lender has consumed the value of the loan in fruits, lo misalkin lei, we will not remove him from the land. The Kosovar mitchilas achiloson avak ribizu v'ein keich b'dayonim lohotzio. From the beginning of his eating of those fruits, it was in the category of avak ribis, and the judges cannot extract that from him. It would appear that Rav Ashi's ruling would be, different, to put it mildly, than the ruling we saw a few lines before, where we have a Roman numeral number 2, about 8-9 lines up from the bottom of Omid Aleph, where we saw Bidiasmi Ochal Shirzuzi Misalkinon Le. Here Rav Ashi is dealing with Yesaimim, minors, as Gedolim, and as you saw in the Rashi, Lo Misalkinon Le. Omar Rova Bray de Rav Yosef Mishmei de Rova. Another in the series of halachas dealing with a mashkanta be'asra de misalki. So he says, "Hi mashkanta be'asra de misalki lo nechul elo benachyaisa." A lender who receives land as collateral in that kind of area, the asra de misalki, as we've mentioned before, borrower can remove the lender from the land as whenever he comes up with the money. Lo necho elo benachyasa means he shall not eat the fruits unless In exchange for the fruits, he reduces from the principal value of the loan, enabling the borrower to pay that much less in accordance with the amount of fruits that the lender consumes. Vitzurba mirabonon, Vitzurba midrabonon, a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, afilu benachyaisa lo nechol. He, even in that seemingly fine, legitimate fashion, should not use the collateral and consume the fruits. Before we go further, let's take a look at Rashi on the second line from the top. Be'asra de'mesaki lo nechol pira elo benachyaisa shinakilu min achoiv dover kotsuv lishona. This is a point we didn't mention in translating the Gemara. And we have to be even more accurate than we were, and that is that as he eats fruits year after year from this land, he shall subtract a fixed amount. If we said before something to do with that which corresponds to the value of the fruits, not so here. In this case, he shall subtract a fixed amount per year. Dinira kamoichrei loi. In that way, it appears as if the borrower sold him the field with regard to the fruit rights. V'yoyred b'sofek, and the lender then literally descends into the field, understanding that he's going to have to subtract a fixed amount per year, where there is an element of doubt. Da'afilu tilokev lo yubo peros yenaka lo oisa kitzva. Even if there is a year in which the field does not yield a significant amount of fruits, where as a result of some type of crop failure or whatever other cause, the field doesn't yield fruits. He nevertheless continues to subtract that fixed amount per year. Hilkoch, ki shokil mineit fe, therefore under those circumstances when the lender, in fact, benefits from more fruits than the value of fruits that exceeds that fixed amount that he's subtracting per year, lav ribisu, there is no problem of taking interest. Why? Because it's offset by the risk factor that he might, in fact, benefit nothing. V'davka be'asra demesaki. This is limited to a case of places where we could remove the lender from the field in exchange for the loan being paid up. Havol be'asra de lo mesaki kol yemei hazman. But in places where the understanding is that the lender is not removed for the entire established time period, have kemechira etzlo uvelo nachyaisa nami ochol. There, it's viewed as a sale, not as a field taken as collateral in the context of a loan anymore, but rather as a sale. And as such, he can eat it uvelo nachyaisa nami ochol. He can eat the fruits even without having to worry about subtracting a fixed amount per year. We go back to the Gemara, four lines from the top. After having said that a Tzurbim Rabbonon, if he happened to lend money and receive the field in as collateral, he is not to benefit from it, even in the Nachyaisa fashion, Ela B'may Nechel, so how can he benefit from it? Answer, Be'kitzutza. The Gemara, you will see, is marked with a bracketed section. Following the brackets, you see the Gemara asks, Hechi Domi Kitzutza. On the side, we have, by the starred note, we say, we have a note reading, Machas Hasagrayim, the purpose of these rounded brackets, I mention rounded because there's going to be, shortly you'll see an angular bracket as well, but the purpose of these brackets is L'shem Diluk, is for skipping. Kedei L'ros Miyad Pirusha Shel Kitzutza, so that you can see immediately where the Gemara deals with the definition of Kitzutza. Very often, the Gemara uses a term, has a discussion a discussion where the term is used even before the term has been defined. And that's what you'll see here. So for our purposes, if we skip initially, you'll see what the term means. So if we do that, let's work according to our suggestion. And you see, also do note that we have Roman numerals 1 and 2. There's an Iko Diamri, a second version. So the Gemara says after the brackets, Hechi Domi Kitsutsa, what is meant by that kind of consumption? The Omar Lei, the lender says, Ad Chomei Shonen Achilna, Lo Belo Nachyaisa, for 5 years I'm going to use the fruits without any subtraction. The Mikan V'Elech Shaimina Loch Kulupiri, beyond that, then we will assess all of the fruits. Ika Diamri, another version, Kol Belo Nachyaisa Osur, any form of consumption without subtraction, without, say, an annual subtraction, is forbidden. Avol Hechi Domi Kitsutsa, then how will you explain Kitsutsa? The Omar Lei, Ad Chomei Shonen Achilna Ben Achyaisa, for 5 years I will eat the fruits following the Nachyaisa method, subtracting a fixed amount per year. Mikan Ve'elech Shaimina Loch Kulu Piri. And beyond that, so then the actual value of the fruits will be assessed. Mitzvah Shem will go over this again, but let's now go back to the angular brackets that we saw in our note on the side in the margin. So let's continue reading there. L'shem Diluk, these angular brackets are also for skipping purposes. Because as we read the Gemara, we said the Talmud Chochem can eat b'kitzusa. If we skip the angular brackets, what do you see in the Gemara? You see, Tzi kitzusa, pligi bo rav acho v'ravina, chadomar kitzusa shaya, v'chadomar kitzusa asira. You'll see that there's a machlokas whether the kitzusa method itself is allowed. And that is why we skip the brackets, to simply to point out that kitzutza itself is subject to a machlokes. Our note continues saying, Ma shemuva besot segram elu mevusas al ma shemuva achreim. The reason we skipped the brackets is because that which appears within the angular brackets is based on what we just read by skipping them. So let's go back now, and you'll appreciate this just a little more. We said that a Talmud Chacham, a Tzum Rabbanan, can use the collateral field if he uses it in the Kitzutza fashion. So now the Gemara says, Ha'nicha l'madomar Kitzutza Sharia. That's fine according to the opinion that says Kitzutza is allowed. Do you see why we skipped the angular brackets? We skipped it in order for you to see that this issue is subject to controversy. Namely, you have Rav Acha and Ravina. Only one of them said Kitzutza Sharia, and that's what we're referring to here in the brackets. That the suggestion for Tzura Bonan to consume the fruits in the Kitzutza way, that's fine according to the one that allows it. Elo Laman Diomar Kitzutza Asira Ma'iko Lameimar. But according to the opinion that says Kitzutza is a forbidden as well, then what's left for the Tzubur Rabbanan to do? The triangle that you saw, four lines from the top, we didn't explain it yet. But if you look in the margin under the Nosei / Mivne heading, Sidure Mashkoin Shemutorin Afilu Litzum Rabbanan. Here we'll have different suggestions. You see one over here. If you skim down the Gemara, you'll see another triangle, Mashkanta de Sura, are approaches regarding the Sumra Bonan how he, though he has restrictions that we saw before, he is supposed to live a life of, we'll say, of holiness. What do we mean by a life of holiness? That's a case of abstaining from that which is actually allowed to the general public. Many examples of things like that, where in attempting to reach higher levels of piety, a Tzur Rabbanan, a Talmud Chacham, will not behave, though allowed, he won't behave in the, and they will say, the customary or standard form of practice and behavior. So we mentioned that the Talmud Chacham, he will consume using the Kitzutza method. So far in the Gemara that we've done, we saw within the bracketed section that Kitzutz itself is the subject of a controversy between Rav Acha and Ravina. And then we saw the Gemara, and we'll read it again now. What is Kitzutza? So the Gemara said by Roman numeral number 1, we mentioned there's a number 2, and I think we pointed out the difference between the approaches. So let's go on in the Gemara now with Roman numeral number 1. Hei chidomi Kitzutza. What is meant by kitzutza? The Omar lay ad chomesh shonin achilna lo balon achyaisa. Up till 5 years, I will consume the fruits without any subtraction. Mikan v'elech shayamno loch kulupiri. Beyond that, so I will. We will evaluate the actual value of the fruits, and my understanding. See the Rashi. Doesn't elaborate here, but my understanding is then that actual value of the fruits will be subtracted from the principal value of the loan. Ika diamri kol below nachiyis oser, consuming of land fruits from land given to you as collateral in the absence of a fixed subtraction rate, that's forbidden. So, aval hei chidomi kitzutza, then what is the kitzutza method that one would allow? Diyomar lei ad chomeshon anachina binach yaisa. For 5 years, I will consume the fruits following the nachyaisa approach, namely subtracting a fixed amount per year. Mikan ve'elech shayamno loch kulipir. Beyond that, then we will assess the value of all the fruits. The Rashi adds a very important note. B'mishlam shanya delo mechsi kalva. We just made a mistake. Let's correct ourselves. We'll come back to this Rashi a little later. We go back to the Gemara, though. We saw two versions of kitzutza. Man de osar b'komaisa, the one who would forbid, according to the first method, the komaisa was our Roman numeral number 1, shori b'basraisa, he would allow that. Man de osar b'basraisa, he who would prohibit the second approach, he would certainly prohibit the first approach, where there was consumption without any nachyaisa for the first 5 years. So, hechi shori lemechal, how would it be permitted to consume the fruits? Shori ki mashkanta de sura. The mashkanta de sura method is the way to go, for according to this opinion. The kasvi bohochi, they write the following. B'mishlam shanya ilein teipuk aroda below kesef. Upon the completion of this number of years, they specify number of years, the land will be returned to the borrower without any further payments. Rashi on this says, B'mishlam shanya de lo mechsi kalvo, in that, it doesn't look like a loan. Elo kelekeach imenu peres hashanam o'ilu, b'mois halolo. Rather, it looks like one who bought the fruits of those years according to the value of the loan. In other words, the loan value was in fact payment for the fruits. So in that way, we avoid any ribbis appearance. Before we go further, let us glance at the side. We have a topic heading. Gimel Nafgamina. We'll find three points of difference. Bein Asro de Mesalki, Shenech Shav Yoser Kinyonoi Shel Haloive, Li Asro de Lo Mesalki, the Nechshav Konoi Lamalve. In a Asro de Mesalki, the land is viewed more as being, we'll say, more owned by the borrower. In an Asro de Lo Mesalki, in a place where we, during that the established time period that's established between the Malva and the Lova, the Lova, the borrower, cannot remove the lender from the land. It appears to be more of a land ownership on the part of the Malva, on the part of the lender. A double underline marking will appear. And in our Mivneh heading, we indicate Hadgoshas Asr de Mesalki Vasr de Lo Mesalki. We're using this to highlight the expressions Asr de Mesalki in contrast with Asr de Lo Mesalki. Now the Gemara. Rav Popov, Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, Amri Travayu. They both say, Hai Mashkanta, a land offered as collateral by Asra de Mesalki in a place that the lender can be removed at any given time. So there are three points of law that are, we'll say, characteristic or are relevant to a place like that. Now these points we've noted with little lettering, Aleph, Bays and Gimel. You'll see the next double underline in contrast, the more we'll talk about Asra de Lo Mesalki. Again, there's the lettering, and each one of the letters is, we'll say, in contrast with the Aleph through Gimel that we have now. As we go through these various halachas, you have to be able to envision view in abstract terms how to view the land under these circumstances, the Mesalki versus Lo Mesalki. So the first point is Ein Bal Choiv Goive Heimeno. If our lender who received the land as collateral, that very lender happens to owe money to other people. Let us say that he carries an old debt. Those creditors cannot collect this land. This land, since it has this temporal nature by the lender, is viewed as if it were portables. And creditors cannot collect, we'll say, cannot collect portables. We have to be a little more accurate, and we'll do that by going through the Rashi. Ein bal chov gove himeno im meis hamalve. You see, this point I didn't mention. The bal chov doesn't collect from the lender's creditor will not be able to collect from that land if that particular lender died, leaving property to heirs. Then, as Rashi says, v'nofeluf ne'bonov. Then ein bal choiv shel avim goy vehimena, their father's creditor cannot collect this particular land. Dein lem avim beguf shel karka klum, their father doesn't have any intrinsic holding on the land. Umetalti balmaninu, and therefore they're viewed as mere portables. Here today could be gone tomorrow. Meaning, if the borrower pays up his debt, this land will revert back to that borrower. Hence, it's viewed as portable. And portables held by orphans are not collectible by the creditor. If their father was still alive, Govi, his creditor could collect even from the shirt off his back. Share lo hilva moisof. This creditor loaned that particular individual the money. Finishtabe, he became bound to him. The Torah indicates that one who owes money is subject to having a court agent enter his house and collect collect collateral on behalf of the creditor. More says later that that pasuk is referring to a court agent who enters the house of the debtor to collect collateral. Avol hechadamis, when he dies, badiyasme mayavidite detova. What dealings does he have? What right does he have to collect from the orphans? Hare lo lovu mimenu. They didn't borrow from this particular creditor. The Yarsi Karkois, if they happen to inherit land, the reason you collect from land inherited by orphans, Mishtati Nechosi Mechayim, while the debtor was still alive, the land became bound to pay off his debts. A lien was established while the debtor was alive, Umechayev Midinorev, and the land serves as a type of guarantor. Norev is a guarantor. We say that a person's properties, land, real estate, is a guarantor for his debts. When the money was loaned to him, the lender relied upon the real estate. But when it comes to portables, it has no status of serving as a guarantor. The lav olayu somech malva, the original creditor never relied upon collecting portables. Hail ubiyodu latznian labdon, since the borrower can always hide them or destroy them, so the initial loan was never made based upon portables. So now we go back to our Gemara. When looking at the land held by a lender in an asr de mesalki, in the event that that lender dies, his creditors cannot collect it from the Yesoimim. Number two, or base, the Ein HaBachor Notil Bo Pi Shnayim. In the event that that particular lender dies, the lender who collected the land, who received the land as collateral, and you're in an Asra de Mesalki, the firstborn does not get a double portion of that. A firstborn does not get a double portion in outstanding loans owed to their father. The land that their father happened to collect is a function of a lien that the father had, but nothing more than that. And Rashi elaborates on this point a bit more, using terminology that's found in other Gemaras, both of Basra particularly. The Bechor is entitled to a double portion only in those properties that the father was owner of, was in possession of at the time of his death. With regard to this kind of land, in an Asr de Mesalki, it only represents a still outstanding loan, but nothing more than that. Hence the Bechor, the firstborn, doesn't get Pishnayim, a double portion of that. We continue in the Gemara, Ushvius Mishamotza. The passage of the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year, the seventh year of the seven-year agricultural cycle, as I'm sure many of you know, outstanding loans are canceled. That is true with regard to loans for which there wasn't a mashkon that was laid down for it. Now you say, but what are you talking about? We're talking about a mashkan over here. However, it's not, we'll say, a strong enough type of collateral that through which we would consider that kind of loan to be stronger, we'll say, than the Shemitah year, than the passage of the Shemitah year. I say stronger, it means we wouldn't consider this kind of collateral enough to enable the loan to be collected even after the Shemitah year. Rashi explains further, three lines before they get wide, the last of the narrow lines. Rashi says, "Shvius mishamotza, kishar milva b'shtar," just as is the case in any written loan, "shenichse loivim shibodim lohen," in any standard written loan, the property of the borrower is indebted to pay it off. When we say the lender has a lien on it, and yet we know that Shemitah cancels loans, even written loans, even loans where the lender has a lien on the properties of the borrower. The ein ze malva la mashka in shein shvius mishamotzo. This is not an example of a loan given in exchange for collateral that we have as law. Shvius does not cancel those loans. But what's the difference between that kind of collateral and this kind? Tahosam b'mashu shemetaltalin kaiminon. In a case where a lender received as collateral some kind of portable, that kind of loan can be collected even though the Shemitah year passes. The reason for that is we hold that the Balchov, that the creditor, actually becomes the owner of the collateral. The Alfinon Mulchoti at Stokov, Avile Kegovui. And since the lender is viewed as the owner of that collateral, it's as if he already collected the loan when he got the collateral. Oh, it's as if he collected the loan already. Then when the Shemitah year goes by, there is no longer an issue of trying to collect a loan after Shemitah when you're viewed as already having collected it. In that case, when the borrower wants to pay up the loan, it's really like the borrower is buying back the collateral that he had given to the lender. So that idea that Shvius doesn't cancel loans when there's collateral, that's, as Rashi says, collateral of a true metal in nature, a true portable item. This isn't similar. This is, you're talking about land, not a portable. Even though we said it has certain portable characteristics to it, but it's not the kind of mashkon that would be able to be collected after Shemitah. We continue in the Gemara. Uba Asra Delo Misalki, in places that the lender cannot be removed from the land within a given time frame, even if the borrower tries to pay up the loan, the lender would continue holding the land until the end of that whatever agreed upon time period there is. Now everything is viewed differently, actually in an opposite way. Baal Chayv Goy Vehemenu, a creditor of that particular lender, in the event that lender who collected the land as collateral would die, his creditor could collect from the heirs. Ubechor notel bo pishnayim, a firstborn son would be entitled to a double portion of that collateral in an asra delo misalki. V'ein shvius mishamotza, the Shemitah would not cancel it. That cancel alone, where you are holding a piece of land in an asra delo misalki set up. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'yomer mar zutra mishmei derav popa hai mashkanto be'aser de mesalki. The land collected as collateral in locations that we do remove the lender from it. Misalki lei ve'afilu mitamri da'abudyo. We'll remove the lender even from the dates that accumulated on the budya, on mats that are laid out under date palms when people harvest dates. So it's easy to collect those, we'll say, those fallen dates. So in an Asra de Mesalki, when we talk about removing the lender from the property that he's holding on to as collateral, in the event that he's holding on to date trees, we will tell him you got to leave the trees, and even you've got to leave the dates that have fallen onto the mats, even though they're not really part of the tree anymore. The agvinu besisni, if the lender beforehand, before the borrower tries to pay up the debt, if the lender picked up the dates that fell and put them in baskets, kaninu, then the lender acquires those dates and he can't be removed from them. U lamad yamar kelov shaloikeach birshus meicher konolokeach. Here the Gemara is touching on a discussion that's found in other Gemaras. That has to do with the power of vessels to acquire on behalf of the purchaser, even though the vessel is in the domain of the seller. So, according to the opinion that the vessels of the purchaser, in this case, the lokeach is whom? It's the malva. He's the one who's trying to acquire. The malva is the lender. He's the one who's interested in acquiring these fruits. So, kelev shelokeach b'rishus mocher. The mocher, in this case, the seller, so to speak, is the borrower. So, if you hold that kelev shelokeach are kinim, acquire, even in the rishus of the mocher, even if the lender had not picked up those dates from upon the mats, the lender will nevertheless have acquired them by virtue of their being on his machzolos, on his mats. So just like it's clear that when the lender puts the dates into the baskets, he'll acquire the dates, so too here, when they're still on the mats, according to the opinion that Caleb Shalokeach, and understand Lokeach is the Malveh, Bershus Moicher Kono Lokeach, that the Malveh will be entitled to them. Before going further, we want to note the topic heading on the side. The Nose reads, Malveh Shomar Bershas Matan Havoah Shuyina gacheres v'minega mokum. A lender of money, at the time he is extending the loan, he's giving the loan, expresses his desire to behave differently than the general practice in that place. Now the Gemara. Pshita, it goes without saying, it's obvious, ba'asra de mesalki. The Omar Lo Mistalakna, in a place that the lender could be removed. And he says, I'll lend the money, but on condition that I'm not removed. And he spells that out. Ho ko Omar de Lo Mistalakna. So he said that he has said that. And therefore, will be a binding condition. Gemara goes on, Ela be'asra delo misaki, in a place where the lender is sitting in the, we'll say, having the upper hand, sitting solid on that land, and asra delo misaki, a place that you can't remove the lender, until a certain time. V'yomar, and he says, Mistalakna, I'm willing to be removed if you pay the loan early. In other words, where you pay the loan, whenever you pay the loan, even if I said early means even before the time that would represent the end of the time period in Asra Delomis Salki, he says, I'll allow myself to be removed. If just pay up the loan when and whenever you pay it off, I'll leave. My, what is the din? Tzorach lemikna minei olo. Does he have to make a kinyan to that effect, a gesture that strengthens his willingness to depart early? Or maybe it's not necessary to make a kinyan. Rashi says, four lines from the bottom of the page, Tzorach lemikna minei, di'ilo koni minei, if you don't, if the lender doesn't make a kinyan, dibura bi'amahu, it's mere speech, v'yocholomar, and he could then say, lo ashanem et aminag, I'm not going to change from the common practice, I'm not going to alter the common practice. Whatever I said, but it's inconsequential, and the common practice is that I cannot be removed. However, that's one side. According to the other side, he doesn't have to make a kinyan. It's not dibura b'yamo, but it's binding. Rav Popa amar lo tzorach lemikna minei, Rav Sheish es berei, Rav Idi amar tzorach lemikna minei. You have a machlokes on this very topic. If you don't make the kinyan, says Rav Sheshes, then your offer to be removed is mere words. The Gemara itself rules that a kinyan, a gesture of acquisition, it will be necessary in order to bind the lender to his word. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading that reads, Ba'asra de Mesalki, V'yomar haloive shehoilich lovim amois, V'roitze shemal v'yafsik akshav milechol peres, in a place where the practice is the lender can be removed from the land. What happens if the borrower announces, I am going to bring the money, and he wants the malva to stop immediately the eating of fruits? We're talking then about a period prior to the actual handing of the cash value of the loan to the lender. However, the borrower says, I'm going to bring you the money. Can we remove the lender at that point? The Gemara. Omar is a reference to the Love. He says, Ezo v'aisi zuzi, I am going to bring cash. Now, cash that exists. He has the cash. He just says, I'm on my way to go and bring the cash that exists. And from right now, I want you to stop eating the fruits. Lo ochil. He's not allowed to eat the fruits. And Rashi adds, since the money is there, it exists, the lender doesn't have any right now to continue eating the fruits. A second scenario, Ezel v'atrach v'aisi zuzi. He says, I'm going to go and trouble myself to collect money to pay off the debt. So that, in contrast to the first case, where the money, the cash to pay off the debt was extant, it was around, it was available. Here, it's not extant. He has to collect it, he has to toreach to get it. Ravina Omar Ochil, Marzutra Brei, Durav Mori Omar Lo Ochil. So again, you have a machlokes, whether or not the lender must stop eating the fruits simply because the borrower says, I'm going to go and trouble myself to try to collect the money. The money, of course, to pay off the loan. Vilchasa Lo Ochil. The Gemara itself rules that he is to stop eating. Rav Kahano, Rav Popo, Rav Ashi. Lo Achli ben Achyaisa. They would not consume fruits from collateral. I would suggest even in the Nachyaisa fashion. We saw before, by the way, two opinions regarding eating the kitzutza. So we saw that kitzutza, it was a method of eating with nachyaisa, and here we see these rabbanan not eating, not consuming collateral of fruit from collateral that received in the nachyaisa form. Ravina ochel b'nachyaisa, but Ravina did. Don't forget, we saw before how we explained that using the fruits in a nachyaisa form is viewed, since there's an equal chance, or there's a chance of loss, just like there's a chance of gain, it's not viewed as a halva, but it's rather viewed as a mecher, a sale. That point you could see back in the Rashi, four lines from the top, where he says, "Denira kemoichrolai," looks like he sold it to him. So Ravina consumed with in the Nachyaisa fashion. Omar Morzutra, my taima demand ochel b'nachyaisa. What is the background or the basis for that opinion? So the Gemara answers, midi dahava asade achuza. Similar to the halacha that regards someone who had sanctified an inheritance field, and he comes to redeem it from hektish, from the sanctity. What is the connection here? Just a word before we go on in the Gemara. The Torah says that if one is maktish a steach, who's the one inherited a field, and he decides to sanctify it, he will redeem it at a fixed rate established by the Torah. If you look into Rashi, you'll see a reference to a sela and punyon per year. This fixed redemption rate is a payment that does not factor in whether the fruit that appears in the field every year is in great quantity or in small quantity. If a person redeemed, let's say he dedicated a field 40 years before the upcoming Yovel, and 10 years went by, so now he's at a 30 year point before the next Yovel, so he'll have to offer the Beis HaMikdash a 30 sloyim and 30 punyonim, a sela and punyon per year. Does that amount consider how much harvest, how much that field yields by way of harvest? No. So now we go on in the Gemara. The idea of consuming a field in the Nachyaisa fashion is paralleled to the redemption of a field that was an inheritance field that was sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. Stay achuza. Lav afagav de ka'ochel piri tuva. Is it not so that even if there was a lot of fruits that were consumed, Rashi at the bottom says, V'afagav d'ochel piri hegdish tuva sheshovin peros shel kol shana kol hashana harbe. Omar Rachmona, the Torah says, we continue at the top of Daf Samaches, Koporek law Barbazuzi. Arbazuzi is another way of saying a sella. We mentioned a sella plus a punyon. So you see this this idea of a fixed amount paid regardless of how much fruit or how much there is produced by the field. Hachanami, so to hear, lo shna, someone who consumed the fruits of a mashkon, a fixed amount is, and when we speak about nachyaisa, a fixed amount is reduced from the loan per year, regardless of the amount that the lender benefited from. So just to review the point, we used an example of a field that had been sanctified and to the Beis HaMikdash, and 30 years before the Yovel year arrived, the man wanted to redeem his field. Based on the number of years remaining till the Yovel, a sella per year is paid to the Beis HaMikdash. So he'll have to pay the Beis HaMikdash 30 sloim in our example, and he then gets a field, his field, his inheritance field, gets it back, even though the value of the fruits per year exceeded a sella per year. So too our lender benefits from the fruits, subtracting a fixed amount per year from the original loan. The amount that the lender may have consumed might have been worth a lot more than that fixed amount that is being reduced, but we see a precedent for that approach from the halacha of redeeming a steachuza that one had sanctified. We continue now in the Gemara. Uman de'asar malach, the opinion that prohibited, and that included Rav Kahana, Rav Popa, and Rav Ashi. What about the precedent from Stei Achuza? So, Mandos Ramaloch, Stei Achuza, Hektish He. That example has to do with having sanctified a piece of property to the Beis HaMikdash. The Rachmona Ukmeya Pidyon. And the Torah says that this is the method for releasing it. Hacha Halvahi. Here, in the case of a piece of land acquired as collateral, it's being acquired in the context of a loan. A loan is something different than sanctification. Umerci caribis, and consuming fruits that might be worth a lot more than the amount you're reducing per year from the principal value, it still gives us the ribis impression, the appearance of receiving interest. Rashi, four lines from the top. Hosam lav halva. In the case of stei hegdish, we say that it's not a loan. But pidyon talya milsav rachmon ukme ahai pidyon ve'omar b'hochi nifrok. The Torah itself established a method for redeeming that which was sanctified. That, of course, is a completely separate realm from a loan where a lender is consuming more fruit value than that which is being subtracted from the principal per year. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.